Shalom Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. Everything is perfect. Great.
That's good. So, Parashat Toldot.
Parashat Toldot. We see in this parasha, which this parasha really, really has a lot of insight, as really a lot of lessons that we can learn. And one of the lessons that I was thinking about, hopefully we'll be able to learn a lesson from it. But we see in this week's Torah portion, just a quick synopsis, is that Isaac and Rebecca, Yitzhak and Rivka, endure 20 childless years.
Yeah.
Until their prayers are finally answered, and Rebecca conceives, and obviously she experiences a very, very difficult pregnancy as the children, as it says, struggle inside her. And God tells her that there are two nations in your womb, and that the younger will prevail over the oldest. And obviously, Esav emerges first, and Jacob is born clutching onto Esav's heel,
yeah.
And therefore, it's one of the, that's one of the reasons why he's called
Yaakov. Because he has the Akev of Esav.
Correct. Yeah. Akev, which means the hill. And Esav grows up, you know, to be a cunning hunter, man of the field. Jacob is more wholesome. He's the dwell in the tent of learning. However, Isaac, Jacob and Esav's father, favors Esav and wants to give him the first small blessing and says, I need to prepare me a meal. And he goes out. However, Rivka loved Jacob. And she heard about this, dressed the son up, and Jacob, and told him to go and get the blessing. Jacob, obviously, in the beginning was very hesitant. Why, you know, my father's going to know where I am, but she dressed him up and so on, and he went in, and he got it. And we see that when Esav came back from the field, you know, he was very hungry, and he was thirsty, and Yaakov was preparing a bowl of lentil soup,
yeah.
And he convinced Esav to agree to sell the birthright of himself for the bowl of lentil soup. So we see that there were two different types of people born in this week's parsha. As we said, Yaakov was more of the person that wanted to learn Torah. He was more kinder. He had more. He was more calm. However, Esav was more of the skill hunter, a man of violence. More, he was more out there. And we also see that, as we just said, that when Esav returned from the hunt exhausted, he wanted food, and Yaakov was preparing lentil soup, and he agreed. And as the firstborn twin, Esav would have been the one chosen to minister in God's temple. Yaakov saw that and said, hold on, that's not possible. How can this evil man, the person that's not necessarily learning Torah or doing anything, why should he get it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he agreed to, he offered to sell him the lentil soup, knowing that he's a vulnerable stage of time, that he would agree with it. And Esav accepted the offer, the deal is done. Sealed. Great.
Yeah.
Now let's fast forward some 275 years. And in the book of Exodus, when God is sending Moses to Pharaoh to redeem his people, he describes them as Bini Bechori Yisrael.
Yeah.
My son, my firstborn Israel. And Rashi, who is the commentator of the Torah, the main commentator, is quoting the Medrash, and he says, here the Holy One, blessed He, has affixed His seal to the seal of the birthright which Jacob purchased from Esau. The question is that here, it took God so long to put His stamp of approval on a deal that was entered in hundreds of years earlier. The question is, why now? Why did it take God so long to figure out and to put a stamp of approval that Esav sold his birthright? Now Yaakov is the new guy. He's the new one in charge. He's the Bechor. He's the oldest.
Yeah.
Why does God have to wait so long later? Why didn't God do that right away? And I remember hearing there was once a very, very big rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, head of a yeshiva in Israel, and he gave an explanation, and he said that you can sell your birthright for beans, but you cannot buy a birthright for beans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to throw away one's holy heritage is very easy, but to claim it,
that's a hard work.
That takes years of effort and a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes a step further, and he brings down an example, an analogy of a war hero who earned many, many medals of bravery and courage when he was on the fire. And sadly, in old age, he was forced to sell his medals in order to survive. Someone else walks into the pawn store and finds these medals for sale. He buys them and puts them on his chest. So he might walk down the street, proud, you know, he's all excited, and look what he's done. But does that have any meaning for him? We all know this guy's no hero. He's a nothing. He's a fool trying to fool himself that he got something. So to wear the badge of my firstborn Israel, the Jewish people had to really be worthy of that honor. And it wasn't enough that their father Jacob had purchased the birthright from an unworthy person who was willing to sell it. The children of Jacob, in other words, us, needed to demonstrate that they understood what it meant to be the children of Israel. Because when Jacob bought the birthright from Esau, yes, it was a legal deal. One wanted the beans, the other one wanted the birthright, fair and square, no one can argue. Great. But the question is, did Jacob earn the title? Or was he just like this guy that walks into the store and buys the war medals? How did he earn the title? Just by buying it? However, generations later, when his children went through the Egyptian bondage, and they still kept their faith, they still kept their heritage, then they would be worthy of the honor of the birthright. So now, after they did so much blood and so much sweat, then it comes from above that we get the wax seal, and it says, now you are worthy of the birthright. Today, you are my son, my firstborn Israel. And I remember seeing once there was a line, I don't remember where it was, but it went something like, how odd of God to choose the Jews. And then someone replied back and says, actually, the Jews chose God. So, being Jewish is indeed, yes, a birthright for every Jew. But it's not enough that God chose us. We must choose God. We need to earn our birthright. And how do we do that? By living as Jews. You can't just go and decide, I want to go and get a license to drive a car. You need to be able to work. You need to be able to work to earn yourself to be able to get that license, to be able to get the privilege. And it's not good enough that our parents and our grandparents were good Jews. You know, my Zaidi was a rabbi, and my Bobby knew how to make, you know, good blintzes or so on, whatever it may be. But what are we doing to earn our stripes? What are we doing to be our true who we're supposed to be? So indeed, it's very easy for us to be able to just sell our birthright, to sell whatever, you know, we're not interested in it. But then when we wake up one morning and we want to regain it, and when we want to have our birthright returned, that's when it gets hard. That's when it gets complicated. Why? Because you can't just all of a sudden decide, today I'm going to be like a Yaakov, and then tomorrow I'm going to be like Esau. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You need to be able to, and so that's one of the lessons that we can learn from this. That it took God a long time to be able to recognize us, that we are B'nei B'chor Yisrael, we're the firstborn of Israel. Because we need to deserve it. Nothing gets just put out and given to us, you know, we're spoon fed on the silver platter. We need to work to be able to get it. And that's one of the lessons that we can learn from this parasha, that even though Esav was willing to just get rid of his birthright, because for him it meant nothing.
The food was more important.
Exactly. So he lived for that moment. Yaakov lived, he knew that by him getting the birthright, the Jews later on are going to be able to deserve it and work to get it. It was worth him giving up his bowl of soup for that day and buying the birthright. Yaakov saw the future. Yaakov saw the world to come. And that's the difference between Yaakov and Esav, and something that we can learn as a lesson in our life.
Yeah. So next week, which parasha is next week after Toldot?
So you have after Toldot is Bereshit, Noach, Lamech, Avirach, Yitzhar, Toldot, and then it comes Vayetze.
Correct. Okay, so that's when the letter in the dream of Yaakov is in Vayetze?
Correct.
Okay, good.
So
I remember that one. I didn't remember if it's in Toldot or in Vayetze.
Right, yeah, no.
Good. So, Rabbi, what about services in Congregation Shari Tzedek?
Services in Congregation Shari Tzedek is 6 o'clock Friday evening and Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. And, as you know, we talked about it last week, we're getting very close to Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And, we have, the big, Lego menorah that we're going to make in the Devonshire Mall on December 21st.
Yeah. We started to collect Lego pieces.
Yeah, we have all the synagogues are participating and are supporting it.
Yeah.
And the whole community is doing it. And Massey High School just came on board, and they're getting very much involved in it.
That's very good.
So, Baruch Hashem, you know, everyone. So it's December 21st, 4 o'clock. There is no charge. We're going to make the Windsor's tallest Lego menorah.
Wow!
It's going to be in the mall. We're going to have donuts and so on, all the Hanukkah things that go with it. So, God willing, it will be a big success. And the whole community is invited to it.
That's good. That's good. And I hope Rabbi Ablasa will be able to come too.
Right. How is he doing?
He is doing much better. I saw him on Shabbat. He came to our Tel Aviv party, which was a big success. We were all very happy. It was nice, good food, good atmosphere.
And a nice crowd, I hear.
Nice crowd. It was very successful silent auction. And we hope to have some more parties. We said maybe next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah, God willing. So Rabbi Abbasar is home now, right?
He's home, and he looks much better, and I believe that he feels much better, too.
Good, well, the whole community, I guess I can speak for the whole community. I'm sure you can. That he should be able to get the full speedy recovery that is needed, that he should get back and even stronger to what he was doing till now. And God should help him in everything that he does. He should have all the health. And that's the main thing that he needs, his health. And from that, he keeps on going from strength to strength.
Yeah. Rabbi Ablasa, Refuah Shlema.
Refuah Shlema, correct.
That's good. So, thank you. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, thank you. And God willing, we'll talk next week.
Next week. Thank you.
Be well.